This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The strike is over, and the nation's busiest port complex is set to reopen.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. A deal has been reached to end an 8-day strike at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, which handle almost half of all the cargo that arrives by sea in this country. The strike prevented billions of dollars worth of goods from being delivered. Reporter Wendy Lee of station KPCC has been covering this story, and she joins us now from Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so what was it that broke this impasse?
The workers were concerned that their jobs were going to be outsourced, and more language was put into the new contract to ensure that that would not happen to their jobs. Employers also wanted more flexibility in their staffing, and the union gave them some concessions on that. There are 51 jobs that are currently not filled and will remain unfilled, and also as clerical workers retire, 14 of those jobs will also go unfilled.
Now, we know that this strike has had the potential to have national implications on the economy because it is the busiest port in the country. What has it been like there on the ground in Southern California?
It's been a big deal here. The Port of Los Angeles and the Port of Long Beach, together, they move about $1 billion worth of goods each day, and that impacts several thousand jobs in the region. 10,000 longshoremen work on the docks to thousands of truckers moving the items to companies that rely on distributing those goods to retailers.
So when is the port going to reopen?
The port will reopen today, and the employees who were on strike say that they're eager and ready to go back to work.
Wendy Lee, reporter with KPCC, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, now to a strike of a different sort. Students at Emory University in Atlanta took part in a big strike yesterday. They took over part of an administration building to protest cuts, specifically a reorganization that will close several departments and liberal arts programs. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, Joshua Stewart reports.
About 50 students crowded into a hallway hoping to talk to Emory's president.
We stay here with all of us until all our demands are met.
They're protesting cuts to liberal arts programs like journalism and visual arts. Elizabeth Hennig is a sophomore.
I disagree with the vision of Emory University as a science and technology school. I believe that the liberal arts are beautiful and should be preserved.
The university will still have liberal arts degrees, just not as many, and it makes room for new classes like contemporary China studies and new media. Gary Olson of Idaho State University has written about academic reorganizations. He says, not surprisingly, it's about doing more with less.
Universities are examining themselves and saying, oh my God, we've grown in ways that sometimes weren't logical or certainly weren't good for efficiency's sake.
Emory will phase in the changes over 5 years. Current students in those doomed liberal arts programs do get to finish their degrees. In Atlanta, I'm Joshua Stewart for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 2% in Hong Kong, 0.3% right now in London and Frankfurt. Netflix stock jumped 14% yesterday after the company won the rights to show Disney movies about 8 months after they hit theaters. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 13 points to close at 12,951.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
There may be some backroom dealing on Capitol Hill to avoid the fiscal cliff, but don't expect any gifts to be exchanged. The House Ethics Committee has issued a memo called Holiday Guidance on the Gift Rule. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the story from Washington.
Tis the season for House Rule 25, Clause 5.
Members and staff may not knowingly accept any gift except as provided in the gift rule.
A lobbyist can only give a gift if it's worth less than $10. And if a lobbyist is throwing a party, staffers and members can only go if the general public is invited. But there can't be any fancy food like caviar. Scott Talbot is chief lobbyist at the Financial Services Roundtable.
It takes a little bit of the holiday spirit off when the meeting planner comes in and says, oh, I've got a great menu planned. And I sit there with a pen and I go, no, no, change the crab to chicken.
This leads us to the dreaded toothpick rule. You can only serve finger food. Lisa Rosenberg is a lobbyist for the Sunlight Foundation.
If you're a member of Congress, you can stand up and eat bad cheese that's on a toothpick and maybe have a sip of bad wine, but you better not sit down and have a full meal or else you'll be violating the gift rules.
And what do you do if you receive a gift that breaks the rules? Something perishable like a fruit basket? The Ethics Committee elves thought of that.
For perishable items, i.e. flowers or food, donate the items to charity or destroy them.
Lisa Rosenberg of the Sunlight Foundation says yes, some of the gift rules seem ridiculous, but they do serve a purpose, and she'd actually like them to be strengthened to cover much more than fruit baskets and caviar.
They're focusing on the very small gifts and missing the huge campaign contributions.
Rosenberg would like to see limits on how much money lobbyists can raise for a member of Congress. She thinks that would be a perfect New Year's resolution for Capitol Hill. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, Star Wars fans are taking their love for the franchise to a whole new level. They're coming together to construct a real-life version of the Millennium Falcon. For those of you who need a refresher, that's the ship that Han Solo and Chewbacca fly. According to the BBC, the founder of the project has already purchased an 88-acre plot of land in Tennessee. And now all he needs is the ship. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.